This is James Gillen broadcasting live from beautiful Trail Lake, Washington. We've got a good show tonight. There's a lot of things we need to catch up on. We didn't have our show last week due to technical difficulties, but we're back on tonight, and hopefully we can get some really good things lined up here in the future. We've got a new retreat we're setting up for the August 30th and 31st with Glenn Kimball, and I'm going to show some amazing new footage as well. I'm very excited right now because we finally got the equipment to start cataloging a lot of the footage, the 70 hours of footage we have, and I'm in the process of learning how to work this amazing new computer that we got thanks to a lot of the people that came to the conference that donated, and also Gene, which helped us out and found the right computer, and I've got this beautiful new Apple right now computer that's just working away as we speak, downloading the footage. So we're getting all the footage together, and we'll probably put it together and take the best of and put together in a DVD and probably throw some music in the background. But we are trying to figure out the best way to do that. The background conversation, you might say, during the power-ups and the ships coming in are amazing. So we've got to figure out how to keep the music in the background and bring it up and down. Hopefully we can find somebody with that expertise to help us once we get all this downloaded to put it in a wonderful movie. So anyway, we're working on that as we speak. I'm sitting here watching the screen as all this footage is going up on the screen. So I'll be flying blind. So nobody asked me to go to a website, and we'll be fine. But anyway, it's just awesome. This is like years in the making, and finally it's all coming together. But we've got everything from black helicopters to pink helicopters to pink ships to amazing power-ups, just massive ships flying over and powering up. You know, we've got just about everything you can think of, all cataloged. So anyway, yeah, soon this will be available, along with some just amazing photos. Allie's working on those as we speak, and she's putting together a catalog of some of the photos of the last event, the 2008 conference, and those photographs are just amazing. They're completely mind-blowing. You can see wormholes opening up, giant vortexes, incredible equipment being displayed that actually generates fields, and you can see them actually spinning the orbs into a field and the orbs appearing over people, and it's going to be pretty amazing once it's all put together. So anyway, those are two of the projects I'm really excited about, and finally we can get this out to everybody, and so everybody can see what's going on here. But it's nothing short of miraculous what's happening here at the ranch, and it's something that's probably going to go down in the history of humanity. It's really that big. We've got some really good people getting online, and we've got some Boeing engineers and some other people that are very excited about what's happening here. So we're getting a good touch of professionalism coming to ESETI. There are several things I wanted to talk about. We had a few people here from MUFON. They're MUFON investigators. And they wrote some wonderful articles. Those are up on our website under investigation. And they were trying to figure out why MUFON never pays any attention to this, why I'm never invited to any of the MUFON symposiums or whatever. And it's kind of amazing. I've often wondered that myself, but knowing, some of the things about MUFON, I kind of, I understand, what that's all about, because it's sad, because unfortunately MUFON has some really good people in there, but they have a lot of people that have put a little badge on their shirt that says UFO investigator or UFO scientist or whatever, and they become very arrogant, and they become demanding and say, prove it to me, and no matter what you do, they have a way to try to debunk it. So anyway, there's quite a lot of there. Unfortunately, MUFON actually got started as a government agency. Basically, it was started because they couldn't hire a whole lot of people out there to keep tabs on all the UFO activity going on, so they enlisted the, what would you call it, the, you know, the basic, well, they just pretty much enlisted all humanity. Anybody that wants to join, to jump in and join MUFON could. And so from there, they controlled it from the top down. And so the people became extensions of certain agencies, and that's pretty much how MUFON originated. And then it kind of got a little bit out of their control because other people started coming in and saying, look, we're not going to go in that direction. And those are the people I like to work with, the people that have open minds and loving hearts and really know what they're looking at, and they're pretty reasonable. But there is quite a lot of activity out there in the MUFON community right now because a lot of the people from MUFON have been here and they've seen the ships and they know they're real. And they're putting pressure on a lot of people within MUFON to, you know, start kind of waking up and smelling the coffee. But be that as it may, I don't know if any of you saw the Larry King specials. There's four. There's a four-part series. It's up on the website right now. So if you go to bbsradio.com and go to As You Wish Talk Radio, you'll see them right there for you to click on and watch. But all four series are there, and they have incredible witnesses, I'd have to say. They have top people in almost every agency, and military officials, and people coming forward now and just spilling the beans and saying, look, the UFOs are here. They're shutting down our missiles. They're turning them off like, you know, switching off all of our missile silos. They're knocking them out of the sky when we launch them. You know, they, you know, we've had people here on the ranch, and I've had them on my show before talk about that. They were there guarding those missiles, and the UFOs appear there on a regular basis. So, you know, the Roswell deathbed confessions make it very clear that, you know, these are definitely real events, and that UFOs have taken a very strong interest in us ever since we've been popping off the nuclear bombs, you might say. And so, anyway, it seems like it's coming from every angle right now. It's hitting the mainstream press. A lot of the people in the military are doing their deathbed confessions, and, you know, with all the disclosure projects happening and getting airtime now, it's pretty much a done deal. I don't think there's very few people left or anybody in their right mind that would try to disqualify this, but they do. I love the new the people they bring on their shows. You know, they always have to bring on the debunker, and what I find amazing is that these debunkers, before, they would bring on the one UFO guy that was a witness or somebody that saw something, and then everybody would tear it apart, and they'd have the whole cast and crew of the news agency tear it apart. Now they're bringing on top-quality people, and they're outnumbered, and they usually have one debunker there, and they end up looking so bad, it looks like a dog and pony show on the debunker side. I mean, the statements they make have no backing whatsoever. They're just pure nonsense. And, you know, when they start messing with these military men and start making fun of them and saying they're just seeing Venus or trying to, you know, or just making, you know, pretty lame statements, it's just amazing. These military guys aren't taking it. They're saying, wait a minute, I know what I saw. I know what happened there. You calling me a liar? You know, these other guys that are trying to be the debunkers are just looking so bad. I'm really surprised, you know, they're not just getting slapped on the back of the head by some of these military guys. I think they would if they could. But I would not be surprised if that doesn't happen in the near future where one of these military guys, after being called a liar, just gets up and decks one of these debunkers. And I think it would be a good experience for the debunker, because they definitely need some kind of a reality check, or they need to have their little clocks reset or something. I don't know, because they're beyond ridiculous. We're getting a lot of information now. You know, just the footage we're getting from around the world is phenomenal. It's just coming in from Mexico and from Peru and Brazil and the UK is getting a huge UFO flap right now, so that's happening. And China You know, it's just amazing. Russia is starting to release footage. You know, a lot of the countries are releasing the footage. They're releasing the secret footage or secret files, you might say, top secret files. So it seems like the U.S. are about the only people lagging behind that are still trying to suppress the fact that the UFOs are here. They've been here since the beginning, and they're still here, and they're flying around on a regular basis, but it's increased exponentially. So as I said before, the real disclosure is going to be coming from the skies. Another topic I wanted to talk about was the fires up here in Mount Adams. A lot of people are sending us letters and emails and saying, you know, we're really sorry about, you know, what happened to you and your family, you know, being burned out by the fires. And, and I don't know where those rumors got started, but the fires, you know, we're about 13 miles away from Mount Adams. We're at the base of it, but it just looms right up. And although we had an incredible view of the fires, they weren't threatening to us at all because we have a couple farms in between us and, a lot of green pastures and things of that nature. So there's really no threat to East Seti, and all is well here at East Seti, and the skies are clear. All the buildings are up, and we haven't been burned down, and we don't need care packages for my family and for my illusionary wife and kids and all the other things that people dreamed up in the process. But anyway, just to let people know, we're fine here. Everything's great. And this fire was, I have to say, it was pretty bizarre the way this fire went down. It's what they're saying is kind of crazy because the... We called it in about 2 days ahead and told them there was a fire there. And they said, yeah, we know, we're watching it. So, day and a half later, we called them again. Hey, you know, that fire is still going out there. Is anybody going to do anything about it? You know, oh, no, we're watching it. You know, we're watching it. Everything's okay. And so 2 days later, it's just a raging fire and it's just taking off. You know, something they probably could have put out. You know, with a couple kids in a sand bucket, you know, a couple shovels, you know, could have taken it, putting it out. But apparently they didn't want to deal with it, or I don't know what was going on. But next thing you know, this thing is just raging. I mean, it's this huge inferno, you know, starting to take off. And then it shifted from, well, we're just letting it burn because this is pine beetle damage up there, and we're just going to let it burn and start over again. And then next thing you know, they call out, you know, the millions of dollars of equipment. There's just trucks and everywhere and planes and copters and you name it. And, you know, legions of people here to fight the fire. So, to me, I'm trying to make sense out of this whole thing, you know, is that, A, I can understand if they just want to let that area burn. It is all wilderness area and there is a lot of pine beetle damage there. But, to bring out all this equipment later and spend millions of dollars, it just seems like a budget thing or something. You know, they want to spend all the money so they get it again next year. You know, who knows? But if they really wanted to put the fire out, they could have done it at the very beginning very simply. It was a really extremely small fire. It wasn't really a problem. So, the Mount Adams fire is, looks like most of it's out. I'm not sure what the containment is, but most of it looks out, and there's a few small things, fires going on, and it's non-threatening to us in any way whatsoever. The good news is, if you go to our website, and if you go to eSETI.org and click on the UFO photos, on the very front page, you'll see the very first photograph, you'll see this beautiful ship, just incredible disc-shaped ship, massive ship hovering over Mount Adams. And that ship was photographed by one of the guests here when the fire was still small. And people are, at first they're saying that was a plane, but she had several photographs of planes as well that were flying over the fire to look at it when it was small. And it's very clear. You can see the plane very clear. You can see its tail, its wings, everything. You can make out the plane very easily. But this other object was definitely, undeniably you know, a UFO. It was, you know, you couldn't deny it. It has incredible lights on it and everything when you blow it up. So it's on the website if you want to see it. A lot of other photos have been taken, and a lot more footage just recently we've taken of just the incredible activity that's been going on in the area. But we had some really big ships fly at treetop level, and some fly behind the mountain and across the mountain, just right across the treetops, and these are massive. And they came pretty close, and they made no noise whatsoever, and flew right over to where the helicopters were dumping water and doing their thing. And, you know, the helicopters are 13 miles away, and they are loud. I mean, you can't miss them. You can hear them in the planes as well. But, you know, you can't miss them. Looks like we have a caller. Welcome to As You Wish.
Hi, James. This is Nick from Costa Rica.
Hey, how you doing?
And I think I've talked to you before once or twice.
Uh-huh.
I was coming to the conference, and unfortunately the airline screwed me up and missed my connection, and my health isn't so great, and so I couldn't make it. I had to just come back to Costa Rica.
Oh, that's a shame.
And but maybe I can make it again sometime. Make it sometime. I've been listening to your show a little, and it's you're talking more about UFOs and all that, but I'd like you also to bring up the fact that Dennis Kucinich tried to bring up the impeachment situation with the judiciary, and they wouldn't even allow him to use the word. And also Bugliosi, is that his name? Vincent Bugliosi.
That wrote the book?
Yeah, that I think he was a prosecutor in L.A.
Yeah,
with Manson. And, you know, bringing up his book about murder charges and all that. But it's amazing that there's a complete blackout. C-SPAN did cover a little bit of Bugliosi, but nothing on Kucinich. It's amazing. The only place maybe is on Alex Jones Radio that you hear a little about this. And
and Wexler, too. I think it's Joe Wexler. I'm not sure, but he's also gone on record and
The Florida congressman. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
But, gee, it's, you know, we're in a bad situation, and the people need to wake up and figure out what's happening, and I don't know what the solution is, but we're in big trouble.
Well, you know, they had over 20,000 people July 4th march on the White House, and it was a huge...
Nothing on the news.
Yeah, Ron Paul gathering, massive gathering. Mm. I saw photographs of it. It was just phenomenal, the amount of people there. And you didn't hear one iota on the news. I didn't hear of it anywhere.
Wouldn't it be amazing if enough people wrote in Ron Paul's name to make him president?
You know what I'd love to see is Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich get together.
Absolutely.
And go on an independent or some other party and just, you know, those are the two men I've seen with the highest integrity out of anybody in that political genre, you know, and the rest of it's just fixed, and the media is fixed, and it's so obvious right now that the you know, we're under total censorship right now, and the media is all pretty much you know, under the thumb of the, you know, the big boys, you might say.
Yeah, and I understand there's Internet 2 coming along that will greatly limit the communication between people worldwide and all that.
But, yeah, I've heard about that. I just sent that out on my list to let people know about, you know, some of the things they're trying to do. And I know in Canada they're going to try to censor the internet there first as a trial.
Yeah, they're starting it
goes.
There.
And
beep.
So anyway,
beep. I just wanted to chime in here. May I, James?
Yeah.
You know,
sure, come on.
You're
on.
Absolutely right. Your guest is so right. I feel for it. Things got to change right now, but you know, they are. I tend to feel that we're going to see that change, that reversal that you're looking for, sometime this year. I believe that because there's such, you got to remember, they're blocking out, not, if they were blocking out, here's the key. Let's say they weren't really blocking out all of those marches. That would tell you something, that they're not worried. But by the mere fact that they block them all out, that there is an absolute blackout shows you that it's going on in such a volatile, extreme fashion all around the world. People have woken up. People, you know, we've been in a country that we thought was absolutely the finest, freest land and people on this planet, and that sudden shift in to the ownership mentality just isn't flying, not even a bit. And I honestly don't believe that the media is having even a very good time of trying to hold it all under and trying to keep it a cover, because it's just not working.
I agree. It's you know, everybody I know has figured it out, and nobody even, you know, a lot of people just turned the TVs off. So you know, pretty soon they you keep turning your TVs off, then the advertisers are going to stop advertising, and pretty soon, you know, the internet's about the only thing people are going to be listening to. And the next thing you know, when that goes, you know, basically. You know, I don't know what's
going to
happen after that.
It won't go, James. And if it does, let's say it does, there are smart people. Let's just say there are people who have already figured out alternative answers to that.
Yeah.
Now, they'll be small in scale, but they'll grow quickly. What will happen is you'll get a military-industrial complex, which will totally separate itself from everybody. And in other words, they'll create such a restriction in their space that their new spaces will be developed.
Uh-huh.
And before
I hang up, you know, I was hanging out in Santa Cruz back when you were there in the 70s,
uh-huh,
and going to school in East Bay. And I remember a fellow that was walking around talking about the New World Order, and everybody thought he was crazy. Well, ever since then, I've been following all this stuff, you know, and everything from paranormal, UFOs, government, whatever. And I can't even talk to some people. I start talking to them and they are so far out, they have no idea what's going on, and that discourages me, because I'm not sure enough people are aware.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I'm gonna come out to your ranch sometime. I even had bought some night vision five power goggles or binoculars, you know, with infrared night vision. And so I'll make it again. I make it there someday, okay?
Okay, great.
All right, yeah, carry on with whatever subject you want, but I definitely had to bring up this on Kucinich.
Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, I've actually gotten some emails from some people that are very close to Dennis, and he's seen the footage that we have and knows what's going on, and they've handed him a lot of the DVDs, and I believe they've handed him the movie Contact Has Begun. I'm not exactly sure yet, but there's quite a few people that are very close to him, and he is working, you know, with the cooperation in space, you know, the peace in space movements, and you know, all these different elements. He's been working very diligently, you know, to get some of these things through, and working with the exopolitics people, you know, as well. So, you know, it's definitely, it's happening out there. The people are getting it. It's all over the internet. But again, the mainstream media has shut it down. And it's just undeniable that they've totally censored, Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul and the UFO activity, the fuelless energy technologies. You know, they're letting some of this fuelless energy technology come out. But it's not really fuelless. It's actually just hybrid things that just help, but they don't really function as well as they should. So, but you know, they do have the technology to run cars completely on water. They have fuelless technology. They have all this now, and we just need to get it out of the hands of those suppressing and get it back into the people. We've got another caller here. Welcome to As You Wish.
Brother James, this is Brian in Florida. I haven't spoken to you in months. How are you?
Good, how you doing?
Well, I'm just kind of busy with an endeavor of our own that we've been doing, that educating people on the dangers of the petrochemical products and such,
mm-hmm,
that most people use in personal care and stuff like that. And so I've been putting together some finishing touches on our website, and that's, you know, being part of the solution, not part of the problem, you know. So.
Yeah, good idea. What's your website?
It's notperfume.com, notperfume.com.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so still don't have a guest book there yet, but hopefully we're going to have one soon. So I was listening to the other caller, and I couldn't echo the sentiments more. Did I understand correctly that they were going to, or they actually handed Ron Paul copies of The Contact Has Begun?
No, I don't know about Ron Paul, but I know Dennis Kucinich.
Oh, Dennis Kucinich. Okay.
Has been handed quite a few of our DVDs. And,
okay.
And I'll have to talk to a friend of mine that handed him the DVDs, and I don't know what they handed him. But okay. I'm pretty sure they gave him Contact Has Begun.
Now, you know, that's also another title, a gentleman by the name of Philip Kraft, who has a book called
yeah.
Contact Has Begun. And he is, like, the most unlikely contactee because, you know, this
yeah.
guy is the editor of the L.A. Times, I think.
Yeah, the producers chose that. It wouldn't have been my choice, but the producers
yeah.
chose that title. And, you know,
oh, I'm not saying it's a bad title. I mean, I like
yeah.
the title.
There's more to it. Yeah. But it's really called Contact Has Begun, His Story with James Gillen. That's the full title. But,
yeah.
Yeah,
but I think what you've got together is amazing footage. I mean, nobody else has got anything coming close to that.
Well, wait till you see what we come up with here real soon, because we're cataloging all the footage, and we're going to put out a DVD that, and we'll send it to Seth Shustak over there at SETI. And
Skeptical Seth.
You know, unbelievable. This guy has access. He says he has access to all the spy satellites and all the footage, and,
mm-hmm.
and wherever I go on TV, he follows me. And he says, oh, no, there's no UFOs. There's nothing in our skies. We'd know about it. And
sure, right.
You know, they're somewhere far away, you know. And what's so funny is they've always been in the skies, and they laid down a huge crop circle right in front of one of the SETI installations.
Yeah.
And they fly back and forth in front of their installations, and people have filmed them. You know,
yeah.
the UFOs hovering right over SETI installations. So, you know, I don't know. You know, where he has his head most of the time, but it's definitely not. It's not in the light, you might say, and he's not.
It's not in the light, that's for sure.
Yeah, and he's looking everywhere else but the obvious.
I wanted to ask you: are you familiar with remote viewing?
Yes.
There is a fellow who's been on Coast to Coast a lot. I'm sure you've probably heard him. They call him Dr. Doom, and what's his name?
Ed Dames.
Yeah, Major Ed Dames.
Yeah.
And he talks about the kill shot.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I know that you don't really hang out with the Zetas because they're kind of negative and stuff. And then the
yeah.
Zetas also talk about an upcoming pole shift and stuff like this. And I know that you've touched upon it occasionally, you know. In fact, I mean, if on your website, I pretty much talk about what the future of Florida is going to be. And I'm still here, but I'm working on getting out. And, you know, I mean, I know that you're just supposed to go wherever spirit takes you.
Yeah.
And, but without going off on a complete tangent like Mark Twain, the question that I have is when he's talking about something like remote viewing, actually seeing an event coming that is precipitated by most likely a kind of a Planet X and affecting our atmosphere and stuff. I mean, is this far-fetched, or is this could very well be what the ETs are warning us about?
Well, it's quite interesting because I know a lot of the other remote viewers, and they don't think very highly of it. So, and then a lot of people in remote viewing borrow a lot of other people's remote viewing. So it's a conglomeration of things, and I've heard as far as his accuracy rate, I mean, they really stretch it on Coast to Coast when they give him hits on certain things because, you know, it's like. You know, one of the things they're talking about, this disease, I guess, it was supposed to be this Andromeda strain that was going to mm-hmm. land on all the plants, and it was going to kill everything with chlorophyll on it, and then we're all going to die.
I remember that.
And then, you know, they had this disease, this Monterey pine disease, and they go, yeah, well, it's in the news, you know, Monterey pines are dying, you know, all along the California coast, you know, mm-hmm. and that's, so he got a hit on there, you know. But that's been going on. That disease has been going on for a long, long time, and they also have one that's, you know, hitting the oak trees too and killing, you know, the oaks. So you know, I don't think it has to do with everything with chlorophyll. It has to do with bugs and some other funguses that have been around forever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just see them get, he gets a lot of credit I've seen where it's a real stretch, you know, too.
Yeah.
And what he says is so disastrous and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and when they say a hit, well, what happened was really not that disastrous and they give him a hit and it's nowhere near what he was talking about. So I... You know, I think everybody needs to become their own remote viewer and do their own, get their own personal God connection or spirit creator, whatever you want to call it, and start looking into their own futures and start creating the future they want to experience.
So it's not inevitable. I mean, but are we looking at the possibility of a paradigm shift sometime between now and 2012?
You know, my information on that is. What I see is that each soul is going to experience it according to their soul connection or whatever or whatever their soul needs.
It's an individual.
Yeah, and some people are going to sense it and they're going to feel something's up and they're going to go with the flow and they're just going to move with it and they'll be fine. Hmm. And other people are going to just remain in the ego and just totally identify with the personality and the body and a lifestyle that's totally killing the planet, and those people are going to have an experience. You know, they're going to have a major wake-up call because that's the way they need it. That's the way they've chosen to work this one out. And there'll be people in the middle that'll be sitting on the fence, you know, trying to figure out which way to go, and hopefully they'll shift and go with the flow. But, you know, I have no doubts whatsoever, you know, that we are in... The changes right now, it's undeniable. We've got huge volcanoes going off, you know, cities being evacuated, tsunamis, look at China, earthquake in China. It's pretty undeniable. We're in it. You know, it's happening right now. It's not prophecy anymore. It's in your face and it's science and, you know, it's on the front page.
Well, Dent makes an interesting observation in his video, The Kill Shot, which I got to watch on Google. For free. he says that there is a city off the coast of Cuba that's about 2,000 feet underwater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are roads and such and this and that. So saying it's very possible to have 2,000-foot tsunamis. And so something like Florida, California, I mean, you know, the coast, 2,000-foot tsunami would probably wipe it out.
Well, one of the major problems right now is, and I talked about this earlier, I said before 2012 the poles are going to melt and everybody says you're nuts, you know, that's not happening for at least another 50 years, and then they changed to 30 years. And then they changed it
to 10 years.
Yeah, now they're saying this fall or the end of summer that there's going to be no more ice in the Arctic. So basically the problem with that is that those the poles are actually a balance. They keep the Earth balanced, and it's going to start wobbling quite a bit with this meltdown. And it is shutting off all that fresh water. It's closing down the Atlantic current, which is going to cause a lot of cold air to come down. One of the things I really need to do some more research on is that, you know, a lot of people say there's going to be this huge freeze, and I'm wondering where the freeze is going to come from, because if there's no snow or that, you know, ice in the Arctic, it's usually those Arctic storms that come down and create the big freeze. So I've got to look a little bit more into the dynamics of that.
Well, funny you should mention that, because some scientists are now, I think about 50 scientists worldwide are gathering. They're very concerned about lack of solar spots on the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And they are saying that the sun is cooling. And the last time the sun cooled, there was a 50-year mini ice age.
Yeah.
So that could very well be where it's coming from. You know, and so maybe global warming is not so bad, is what they're saying.
Yeah, there may be something else. There has to be another dynamic involved there's a small part of the puzzle I haven't gotten yet. But I'm getting ready to. The more information I get on this, I'm going to release it. People have been asking me to release what I see coming in the future. So,
are you familiar with the concept of Galactic Federation?
Yeah. Yes.
And I guess you've probably heard of Sheldon Neidl and the updates he puts out. a lot of the stuff they talk about, you know, it sounds like Mother Earth, you know, healing herself and such and this and that,
mm-hmm.
and that a lot of basically the Illuminati dark side and stuff has just been, you know, interfering with everything and trying to keep things from being able to evolve. It seems to me that, it, you know, this has been going on for a long time now, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And it's coming to some kind of a climax.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It definitely is. What they've been telling me, it's really interesting, because when you get into the ultra-dimensionals, they talk almost like biblical. They're very,
mm-hmm.
extremely spiritually advanced, and they're talking about heaven coming to earth, and, mm-hmm. and you know, we're going to go through a major shift, and, you know, they...
But and a major cleanse.
Yeah, they say between now and then, though, it's going to be, you know, we're in, the, you know, great change, but heaven is coming to the earth, and it's quite interesting, and they just say it's time to live in harmony with each other and the planet and get together in groups and work towards the awakened healing of humanity on the earth and follow your inner guidance, and that's the same message they give over and over again.
And, you know, the Hopi elders echo that sentiment, because the last message from the Hopi elders were, there is a river, and you are in that river, and that river is surging. And it said, know where your water is, know where your food is, and know who's in that river, and be prepared for the ride that's coming. And
mm-hmm.
we're not going to tell you anything more after that. That's
yeah.
the last word. So I think we can pretty much gather that what they've prophesied for some time, the, you know, great purification,
uh-huh.
is underway.
Yeah, the Lakota have a prophecy. It's really interesting. They say there's a beast, and the beast is 2,000 miles long. And that's the amount of time that it has to reign. And they said that this beast is all-consuming. It's going to be consuming everything. It wants to control and enslave everyone and everything. And they said right up to the end, when you think, you know, there's no hope left, the beast finally consumes itself.
It's a beast?
A beast, yeah. They talk about a beast. And to me, the beast is the Illuminati, or the
mm-hmm.
it's the controllers or the tyrants, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
And the many levels of that, there's other levels as well. But, you know, it, in the end, it consumes itself. And they said, then after that, we have 1,000 years of peace. But
right.
They do say there's going to be major earth changes and major cleansing going on, and that the star nations will assist some of us through it, and they'll be here on the other side. And you know, the good news is, they tell me over and over again, is that it's really worth getting through these times, because the end result is outrageous. I mean, we join the rest of the universe. The technologies come out that are,
mm-hmm.
are, you know, clean, earth-friendly technologies, and we're going to take a quantum shift.
Right.
Or a quantum leap in evolution, and consciousness is going to go through an incredible shift. So it's really worth doing whatever is necessary to get through these times and get to the other side.
Before I forget, there's something I want to share with you. There was a manuscript that came out many, many years ago in the 80s, I think it was. It was handed to me. It's called, it's by a person by the name of Mino Pauls. It's called The Gathering of the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually find it online, I think. Google Gathering of the Eagles. And he talks about how, almost like the biblical rapture type thing,
mm-hmm.
He said he was told by angels who came to him in the form of hobos. And they said, there's going to be a time where there's going to be two people, and they're going to be in a field, and one of them is going to just suddenly go to a valley. And there's going to
mm-hmm.
be a valley, and that valley is going to have all these provisions. And they call these places the pockets. And actually, people have seen these in, like, British Columbia and such and this and that, where they would actually just accidentally walk into an interdimensional portal
mm-hmm.
and then walk out. And these are places that would be there to provide to in the event of whatever would be coming, I guess. And I think it's fascinating what was all laid out here. And one of the things it said was the United States would be eating humble pie at one point.
Yeah, I think we
I think we passed that point.
Yeah, it's undeniable. I mean, we are going through social, economic, and physical earth changes. There's no doubt about it. And but, you know, I try to focus on, you know, the other side and doing what is necessary to get to the other side and
yeah.
lovingly and joyously prepare.
Yeah, well, you sure are prepared, and it's great that you have the knowledge to share with others and help others reach that level if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, So I really applaud what you're doing, and I'm really glad I was able to talk to you again tonight.
Oh, thanks for calling.
Yeah. All right. Well, take care, and keep tuning in.
All right.
All right.
Take care. Yeah, it's pretty undeniable. They we had an event here after the conference where a group got together. A lot of people have seen it on the ExoPolitics, and it was called the Mount Adams Statement. And I think it was very positive. It was a very well-done statement. But the only thing, I did send out a little bit of a disclaimer, because I think it kind of lures people into a false sense of security. And, you know, a lot of people think we don't have to do anything, that there aren't going to be any earth changes, and we don't have to prepare, and we can just go on business as usual. You know, unfortunately, business as usual is not sustainable on this planet. And this civilization, the way it's behaving and what it's doing to the air and the water and to the forests and you know, the oceans, everything is just unbelievably suicidal. And we've got to do something about that. We've got to change. You know, we can't keep, you know, focusing on wars and create these war economies and spend all our money destroying people and polluting and raping the planet. And, you know, and that does have a consequence. For every action, there's a reaction. So we've been, you know, really busy putting our nose in everybody else's business and trying to control the resources. And a lot of damage has been done. A lot of people have been killed. And you know, there's a karmic, you know, reaction to that. No matter how noble we think we are, or if we believe God is on our side, you know, or whatever. You know, when people are fighting or warring, you know, they're both praying to God. Who's God going to answer? You know, it's like, you know, unfortunately, I think 1.2 million people have been killed over there in Iraq. I mean, that's one of the latest figures, and these aren't. Militias, or these aren't from the army, these are civilians. So anyway, when you look at the figures, they said the more conservative figure is something like 850,000, but any way you look at it, you know, considering the, you know, what's been done to our troops and what they've had to endure and what it's doing to their psyches, you know, and just that whole mess going on over there and how we've been misled into it. You know, there's a karmic reaction. We have to hold our leaders accountable and start, you know, moving in a different direction, moving in a peaceful direction, because the direction we're on right now is insane. I mean, it's totally insane. I was talking earlier about the politics, and it's kind of funny because, you know, on Earth here, especially in America, we are totally insane, because the definition of insanity is trying to doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So we keep putting these same people in office. They keep making all these promises, and we keep getting business as usual. We keep going to war. The economy, you know, keeps going all over the place. We keep getting houses foreclosed on. We're watching environments just get destroyed, and we're still burning fossil fuels, and there's really no change happening. And, you know, it's that form of insanity that we keep thinking through this system that we have now that something's going to happen, and that there's going to be a change. If we just keep doing the same thing, we just pay our taxes, you know, vote, everything's going to be good, and we're going to get our guy in there, you know, everything's going to be rosy. Well, you know, wake up and smell the coffee, you know, it's you know, as our beloved leader said, you know, fool me once, can't fool me again. You know, you couldn't even remember the rest of the line. So basically, you know, we've been fooled 100 times over and over and over, and we keep doing the same thing. And I think the media has a great role in that, because they keep leading everybody on to think that there's going to be a change and that, you know, things are going to be shifting in the right direction, but they never do. The same people are running the same show, and they're running it right into the ground. And the freedom's going down the tubes. You know, it's reaching a crescendo right now. But I have a positive thing. I think sometimes it has to hit that point. You know, we have to hit that critical mass or that point where everybody just says, enough. You know, enough's enough. And we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to do something different this time. And I know all the ETs and the angelic beings and the ascended masters and all the higher beings are all like cheerleaders going, come on, let's go, let's go, let's do something different this time. You know, let's take this quantum leap in consciousness and start, you know, being kind to each other and being kind to the planet and, you know, move to the next level. And a lot of people are getting it. A lot of people are starting to wake up and smell the coffee. A lot of people are looking at their jobs and how they participate or you know, how, you know, what their consequences are and the work that they're doing, and they're just saying, I can't do this anymore. I can't be a part of this. I even seen that in the military. There's a lot of people speaking out now in the military and just saying, you know, this is not right. You know, it never was right, and I'm not going to do it anymore, and they're spilling the beans, and, you know, with all the deathbed confessions and everything. So basically, you know, we have these military jets flying over us constantly, chasing these UFOs, you know. But, you know, if they would chill out a little bit and stop greeting them with aggression, they'd actually be flying those UFOs, you know. And you can imagine that, you know. You could be flying a vehicle that makes a right-angle turn at 7,000 miles an hour and can shift dimensions and, you know, jump... jump from one place to the other, and you know, it'd just be phenomenal. We'd have just incredible technologies right now, and we could clean up the planet, and it's just amazing what is possible, and what we settle for is also amazing. I'm just amazed that we continue to settle for being enslaved through dependency and keeping these other games going that keep us in lack, and, you know, the manufactured lack and all the other things going on the planet. But I think it's time for people to just wake up, smell the coffee, make those changes, you know, make your own personal connection with Creator, God, Spirit, whatever you want to call it, and move with this flow, because the train is definitely underway. You know, the ship is launched, and you can make course corrections along the way, but definitely get with the flow of things, because it's not going to be business as usual. I have quite a few friends that are, you know, from different nations, and they talk a lot about the star nations and messages they're getting from the star nations. And it does seem to be, you know, those critical times that they've all talked about. So, you know, we are moving into those times, and I suggest to people, you know, don't operate out of fear, but don't be stupid either. You know, don't operate out of denial, because denial can be deadly. So, you know, just keep an open mind, a loving heart. You go down and buy a bag of beans and a couple bags of rice or something, just for the meantime, just to have on hand. And, you know, cover yourself on every level. If you don't feel safe where you're sitting, move out of that space. If you feel nature's getting ready to do something, listen to her. You know, if you're getting a message, listen to that message. You know, don't. I would say there's going to be full spectrum messengers out there. Some are going to say nothing's going to happen, and some are going to say everything's going to happen. So, and some are going to say that you know, they're going to try to, your mainstream is going to try to keep business as usual, which means no change. And they want change to happen very gradually and very slowly and maintain the status quo. So if you're turning into your TV sets, forget it. You're not going to be hearing what's going on. You really need to get in touch with shows like this and other shows. And, you know, there's a whole myriad of shows out there, coast to coast, and other shows, that radio shows you can listen to. You know, hit the front page of BBS Radio as much as you can, because there's always features there, you know, people telling you what's going on and what we need to do, and giving you a heads up, you know, about what's happening on the planet. You know, so especially the political, you know, agenda that's going on. I am fully amazed, though. I've never seen such blatant censorship in all my life of, you know, to where major events have happened. The first big wake-up call was when the vets all converged, and there was something like, I think it was Rolling Thunder or something, you know, a lot of bikers, and all these guys got together. Huge event, about 50,000 people there. You never heard one peep out of it. And Senator McCain was there, and he told them he was going to get, you know, get them their rights, get them their benefits, and look into Agent Orange and, you know, depleted uranium and all these other things, and he was going to stand by their side and make sure that they were all taken care of and everything else. And they basically booed him off the stage and said, we've heard all this before. And he sincerely said, no, my word is law. I'm going to do this. And then look what happened. Nothing. You know, exactly the opposite happened. So all these vets out there lost a lot of their benefits and lost, you know, it turned into a real mess. And, you know, they aren't getting taken care of. So, you know, seeing that, you know, when you've got over 50,000 people gather and to make a change and it's totally censored in the news, you know, that was one of the first eye-openers. And then watching these major marches and events in states around the, you know, all around the U.S. where, you know, massive Ron Paul supporters are gathering together, and then up to 20,000 people marching on the White House July 4th, and you don't hear a peep about that. You know, here you go again. Here's total censorship. And then, you know, you add that to the impeachment hearings. We're not hearing a thing about the impeachment hearings. And this is major news, and the charges that this administration is up on are undeniable. And they misled, they lied, you know, redundantly to the American people, took us into a war, and they lined their pockets profusely. You know, and they cashed in on this thing undeniably. So, you know, the 911 issue, too, as well, is not hitting the mainstream news. You know, very little is being leaked out, despite the fact that very, very knowledgeable people, you know, engineers, physicists, all of these people have said it's impossible, you know, for this to happen, you know, in the way they reported it happening. It just doesn't add up. I thought it was interesting when they said, and Building 7, they gave a whole statement on how Building 7 went down and how it would level to the ground and everything, and in the background, Building 7 is still happening. So it was all scripted. It was all pre-written and scripted. Building 7 hadn't even collapsed yet, and they were talking about its collapse and how it went down and everything else, and the woman's reading it, and in the background, here's Building 7 still there, and then finally it falls. It falls down. So, you know, 20 minutes or at least 20 minutes later, It finally goes down, you know, after you know, the description of how it went down and everything else. So, you know, you look at these things, you're going, God, this is so obvious. It's so obvious we're being totally manipulated and lied to. You know, how dark and how ugly does it have to get before people wake up and just say, you know, enough's enough. I'm done with this. So, you know, basically, I think we're hitting that point. I think it's coming real soon, and I think there's a huge influx of consciousness and energy coming in that is pushing all this right up to the surface. So the good news is what you're seeing is the higher consciousness energy and the vibrational lifting going on is pushing all this stuff up to the surface, and it's part of the healing process. But anyway, we're coming up to the end of the hour, and I'd say stay tuned. There's a lot going on. And take your time and go within and make your own personal connection with spirit or God or creator. You know, listen and act on the information you get. And try to live a life of impeccable integrity and do whatever you can to participate in the awakening and healing of humanity and the earth, because it needs all the help it can get right now. So anyway, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening.
My name is Ian, and I want to invite you to visit Ian's Place every Sunday at 4 p.m. At Ian's Place, we have the most powerful conversations on talk radio. If you want to start living your life